Hey, tonight is Wednesday, October 23rd. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. And we're doing sugyot, famous sugyot and shots, starting tonight with Mitzvah Sriches Kavana.
Okay, double time. Last year, we focused on Talmudic topics that happened to have emerged from Masechet Sukkah. Tonight, at least, and hopefully going forward, I'd like to continue that pattern of taking sugyot and see how the Talmud and Rishonim ultimately handle them. And we're going to begin tonight with the topic of mitzvot tzrichot kavana, a huge topic that covers several masechtot and dozens of opinions of Rishonim. Must one have kavana in order to fulfill a mitzvah? Do you have to have some mental awareness of the fact that when you do a mitzvah, you're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us or told us to do it? So before we get started, I just want to welcome Debbie, who is part of an incredible trend at Rina, which is really great. David Schiff is giving a kidney in about 2 weeks. Yes, yeah. So it's like it's lots of people. I know. Number 19 in Rina. It's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. It's really great. Yeah. Okay. So it is, that's the question. Every time we do a mitzvah, must we be aware that it's being done for the purpose of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get credit for the mitzvah? So we're going to see three different masechtot that will deal with this in a variety of ways. Says the Mishnah in Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. That which you have in front of you is from Sefaria. My Bar Ilan in school, we lost all of Bar Ilan. Nobody got, so we have to renew it, whatever it is. So I had to take a safari, and they include, every time they have a source, they also give you the English translation. So that's why I put it there as well. Not that I'm suddenly giving English translation, but safari always gives you the English translation. So the Mishnah says, Haya korei batorah. Somebody was reading the Torah text. V'higia zman hamikra. And the time arrived to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. So tonight, it was about 6:45. So you take out a Sefer Torah, and you're just reading the text, and you happen to be up to Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Va'et Chanan, Shishi, where it says Shema Yisrael, and it's exactly 6:45. V'higiyaz man ha-mikra. So, im kivein libo yatsa. If he had kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema, he is yotze. That's all the Mishnah says. Im kivein libo. So, the Gemara initially thinks that he's reading, and there's only one purpose in reading, to read. And as a result, the simple Mishnah would support the premise, the opinion, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Mitzvot tzrichot kavana. That every time you perform a mitzvah, in order to get credit for the mitzvah, you must have kavana to fulfill that mitzvah. So the Mishnah continues with other statements which are not relevant to us. That's why they don't appear on the page. Says the Gemara, right below it, Shma mina mitzvot tzrichot kavana. I should be able to infer from this Mishnah that every single mitzvah, in order to get credit for that mitzvah, you must have kavana. Because the Mishnah said, im kivein libo. So if I'm reading the very text of the Shema out of the Sefer Torah, saying every single word, but did not have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shema, I will not get credit for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Shema mina mitzvot tzrichot kavana. So the Gemara is going to reject this and say there is no proof whatsoever from this line. Why? The next section. My imkivein libo. What does the phrase imkivein libo mean? Likrot. It means he had intention to read. That's what the Mishnah might mean. You could explain the Mishnah as not as what? Not as what? As kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, but the intention to read. So, what question are you going to ask? Anticipate the Gemara's next question. Well, of course, you're reading. Well, of course you have intention to read. That's the Gemara's next question. Likrot? You mean intention to read? The Hakakari. He's reading. If somebody is reading, we assume they have the attention to read, because you can't just read without intending to read. Answers the Gemara, the last two words on the page, Bikore Lahagia. He is reading not for the purpose of reading. He's reading to correct the text. You have a Sefer Torah that might have had mistakes. So, in order to make sure that on Shabbos, you're not going to have an issue with finding a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and then all kinds of headaches, do you have to take out a Sefer Torah, do you not take out a Sefer Torah, can you, anybody read this? Sometimes you call up a kid to see if he can identify the letter that's in question. So, the way you would read to correct it is going like this. Shema, I'm following it in the Sefer Torah. Shema Yisrael. Just making sure that all of the letters that are supposed to be there are there, and any letter that is not supposed to be there is not there. For example, in the word Totafot, V'hayu l'totafot bein einecha. The first time that appears in the parsha of Shema, there are no vavs whatsoever. It's just tet, tet, pei, taf, totafot. In the second time that it appears in Vahayem Shemoa, there is one vav. So if you found a vav in the first chapter, so you have to erase the word and rewrite it without the vav, because there's not supposed to be a vav there. So here his intention is not necessarily to read. It's to proofread, but he's not intending to read. He's just articulating every word, just to see if there are letters there. If they are all there, or too many of them are there. That's just 1 second. That's not called reading. That's why the Mishnah is saying Hayah Kore. The only time that you can fulfill the mitzvah is if your intention is to read like reading. Because you want to read the text. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But you do, if your intention is to read the text, not necessarily to proofread, then you do not have to have kavana, perhaps, to fulfill the mitzvah in order to get credit for the mitzvah. Because perhaps mitzvot Ein tzrichot kavana. Perhaps mitzvot do not require kavana in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So what the Mishnah did thus far is as follows. The Mishnah made a statement. It could be, it's subject to interpretation. The Gemara initially thought that the word kivein meant kivein kavana to be yotze. That's what the Gemara thought initially. In which case, I can derive a principle that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Answers the Gemara, no. Im kivein libo does not mean kavana to be yotze. It means im kivein libo, if your intention was to read and not to proofread. Because if you're proofreading, even though you said every single letter, every single syllable, you're not going to get credit for the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is called Kriyat Shema, not proofreading Shema. Yes, question. Yeah.
So wouldn't that be applicable only to the sofer? I mean, who else would get up there to try to proofread?
I just gave you the case. We're in shul on Friday. It doesn't have to be a sofer.
But if he's going over to be inducted,
so good. So if it's not there, so if you're not a sofer, what you will do is you'll call the sofer and say, "Look, there's a letter missing here. Please, can you come and fill it in?"
That's would be a guy just going up to proofread.
Yes, the a bal kore or a gabai. A gabai might do that, particularly if you had certain issues with a Sefer Torah, right? If a Sefer Torah is written perfectly the first time, in all probability, it's not going to have too many mistakes. But there are Sefer Torah where the Sofer was not terribly careful, even though he's supposed to be. You're never allowed to write a Sefer Torah by heart. You have to copy it out of another Sefer Torah. So he's supposed to look at the word Shema and write Shin Mem Ayin. Now look at the word Yisrael and write Yud Samach Resh Aleph Lam. Sin. Okay, it's a sin. There's no way to tell if it's a shin or a sin in the Torah. It's just the letter that looks like a shin or a sin. Yeah.
So you recently said, why is this only not really particular to Shema? Because you recently said that you don't establish the mitzvah of Shema by just reading it. You have to take Omo Hushamayim.
Oh,
so if this is
good.
Maybe particular only to Shema.
Okay. So right now you're a little ahead of the game. Did the Gemara ever say thus far that im kivein libo means something other than the two possibilities that the Gemara suggested? What are the two possibilities? That you were intended to fulfill the mitzvah. Two, you intended to read. Good. That's all the Gemara says. Rishonim will now say there is a third possibility by Kriyat Shema. Namely, you can say that of course he's reading. Hayakore batoram. Of course he's reading. He's not proofreading. And what does im kivein libo mean? To do something that most mitzvot don't have. A second aspect to the mitzvah.
Which is what you just talked about.
Correct. Namely, to have in mind that you're being mikabel ol malchut shamayim by reading the text. The mitzvah of Shema is one of the few where the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is different than the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Most mitzvot, the action and the essence of the mitzvah is exactly the same. We just had the mitzvah of lulav. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? You pick it up. That's the ma'aseh. What's the essence of the mitzvah? Picking up a lulav. It's all the same. What's the essence of eating a piece of matzah? Eating a piece of matzah. What's the action of eating, fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah? Eating a piece of matzah. By Kriyat Shema is one of the few mitzvot where the action and the very essence of the mitzvah are two separate things. The action is to read the text. The essence of the mitzvah is not just to read it, but to understand that I'm accepting the yoke of heaven via reading the text. So some Rishonim say, this Mishnah is not at all addressing our question. This Mishnah is not talking about whether or not you need Kavanah to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a special requirement of Kavanah that you require only for the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Because when you do other mitzvot, you don't have to have in mind the Zohar or any Medrash. You don't have to have anything in mind. Just do the action. Pick up the lulav. Sit in a sukkah. Even though sitting in a sukkah might be, I'll talk about that in a second since we just got finished with the end of sukkah. But picking up a lulav, eating a piece of matzah, putting on tefillin, you know, lighting candles for Shabbos, saying Hallel. You don't have to have anything in mind. Just do the action. That's all you need. Sukkah might be one of those that requires a mental awareness. Because the Pasuk says, Basukot teshvu shivat yamim, lima'an yedu dorotechem, ki basukot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael bahutzii osam eretz Mitzrayim. Sit in the sukkah so that you are aware of the fact that God provided huts when He took us out of Mitzrayim. So there is an opinion in Shulchan Aruch offered by the Taz that if you don't have that in mind when you're seated in the sukkah, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Not Yotzei the Mitzvah. So we don't necessarily paskin like him, but it's a similar idea. In which case, there'd be no reason to spend another 5 minutes on this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah is not talking about our problem. Our problem is, do you have to have Kavanah to be Yotzei the Mitzvah or not? This Mishnah is talking, in Kivein Libah, it's talking about something else. To become aware of the words. That the first portion of the Shema is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. The second part of the Shema is Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Because just accepting the fact that I believe in God is worthless. Worthless. I believe. That's it. I believe. I believe. That's nice. I believe. So it's like in this shul where I grew up in. So the rabbi, you know, there were 25 people, 40 people there every Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there were 400 people there. So he did something for them. And he would read some of the things first in English. So on V'chol Ma'aminim, he decided to all believe. They all believe this, all believe that, and then they go drive home. They all believe in everything. What do you mean you believe in? I'm glad they were there. I'm not criticizing the fact they were there. But they all believe in what? Oh yeah, I believe in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it has to be translated into Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. And then you have to say the origin of that. Why must I accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon myself? Because He took you and me out of Mitzrayim. That's why we read the third parsha. Ani Hashem Elokecha, Mashal Tzeisi Yiskam Eretz Mitzrayim. Yes?
So I think we once discussed this, and you talked about this aspect referring to the bracha. So we make the bracha leishev asukah to give us the kavana of what we're doing.
Correct.
And before you say Shema, you don't say a bracha.
That is correct.
The reading of the Shema itself has to have the kavanah.
No, but it's somehow the brachot before the Shema serve as those themes. The very themes. What do we say?
You're actually doing the mitzvah of the Shema Sukkah because you say the bracha, so you have to have the intent.
Well, you hopefully have the intent.
Because you're saying the bracha.
That's the purpose of a Berachas HaMitzvah,
right,
to focus our attention. Some people just recite the Berachas HaMitzvah like they're doing everything else, absent-minded. But that's the function of reciting a bracha before you do a mitzvah. 100%. But that's why it's not a berachas hamitzvah. It's a different reason. It's to thank God so you're not stealing from Him. That's why you make a bracha. That's why you make a bracha. Good. So this sugya rejects there is no support one way or the other to the question at hand tonight. It could resolve it. The Gemara initially thought it would. And the Gemara's conclusion is it does not necessarily support the premise that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. So let's go to another sugya. Mi shahaya over achorei beit hakneset. Somebody on Rosh Hashanah was on his way to the movies or to a golf course. O shahaya beito samuch le beit hakneset. Or he was Nachum and Judy Rubin. They live right next door to the synagogue. Vishoma kol shofar. And Nachum said, well, I have to go to shul for. I don't have to buy any tickets. I can just listen through my window and I'll hear the shofar being blown. Or this guy on the way to the movies or to a golf course hears the sound of the shofar as he walks by. O kol megillah. Or it's Purim time and he hears the Megillah being read. So, what do you need in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Says the Mishnah. Im kivein libo yatsa. If he had in mind to be yotze the mitzvah, yatsa. The im lav, if he did not have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, lo yatsa. Then he has not fulfilled this mitzvah, despite the fact that he heard all 100 sounds. Afal pi shezeh shama, v'zeh shama, even though person A heard and person B heard, one will be fulfilling the mitzvah and one will not be fulfilling the mitzvah. Zeh kivein libo, v'zeh lo kivein libo. This one had kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, and the guy walking by on his way to the movies did not have any kavana to be yotze. Yes?
Does the person above
Theo,
or the person who needs to make it, have to have in mind?
Yes. He has to have, whenever you're doing a mitzvah for somebody else, you must necessarily have in mind to be motzi them.
Even the person who's looking at that.
No, he has to know that there is a. If he knows that there are people outside, yes.
Maybe they would be worried.
Correct. The Gemara talks about a situation where not necessarily Rosh Hashanah, but where people had to work very, very early before davening started, and their employer did not give them any time to come to shul, to daven.
You spoke about this, right?
What?
You just spoke about this in shul. And you came into the marriage.
Yeah, right. One night, yeah. So, the Baal Shachris, the Shliach Tzibur, knows that they are, they're called Am Shebisadot. The people on the field. So when he daven Shmon Esrei, he has in mind to be motzi them as well. Because after all, that's why we have initially Chazarat HaShatz. To discharge the obligation of tefillah for people who don't know or can't daven. But he has to have them in mind.
They have to have the kavana.
They have to have kavana as well. Yes.
But you can just have the one who's doing the blowing the shofar or the davening, whatever it is. You can just have in mind anyone who hears it, right?
Correct. And I want to be specific. The Baal Tokeya, and I'm going to give you a case in a second, does not have to have every single person in the shul in mind. Oh, I have to this one in mind. Oh, this goes on. Oh, that's it. Just say, I want to be motzi the entire kihilah. That's enough. Now here is the case. There was a Baal Tokeya in a shul where he had personal gripes with one of the people in the shul all year. They were fighting all year. Came to Tekiah Shofar and he said, I am being motzi everybody except that person. Except that person.
He's
going
to get
blood. What? Oh, obviously.
Why did that person on the show?
That's a good question. The next year, they didn't allow him anymore. But they, okay, so whether he fit. So now, this happened in the YU Beis Medrash in 1940. In the YU Beis Medrash. And the Rav's father was the Rosh Yeshiva at the time, it was a year before he died, and he said, there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Because the Baal Tokeya is when he says, he didn't go around and say, oh, I want to do this and this. What did he say? I want to do it, I have in mind everybody. Once everyone is part of the Kehillah, they are automatically included, even though he specifically said, I'm not having him in mind. Oh, wow. And of course, they didn't ask him to blow again next year. But it happened that year, and that person was a wreck. That's the way the story goes. The person was a wreck. When the Baal Tokeya said it, he was a total wreck. But there, the... Yeah, the guy who was left out was a wreck, thinking that he's not going to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But how do you know what's in anybody's mind?
That's what he said. From Moshe Soloveitchik, it makes no difference. Yeah, because if he didn't have Kavana for the whole Kehillah, then nobody was Yotze. Nobody was Yotze. We're not going to suspect that anybody is so rotten to the core that he's going to have in mind not to be motzi the whole Kehillah. So he probably had in mind the Kehillah, but he singled out this one person. He can't single him out. As long as you're a member of the Kehillah, that's it. So here the Mishnah says, you are obligated to have Kavanah. Have Kavanah. Now, should this resolve the case or not? If I ask you, we're looking for sources that will resolve the halakha one way or the other.
I don't think so.
Tell me why not.
Because this is kavana for something someone else is doing, as opposed to something you're doing yourself. It might be that if you're doing the action, you don't need kavana.
Excellent. You just came up with Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim Briska. Rab Chaim once said that there is a difference when you do an action yourself or somebody else is discharging your obligation for you. So let's take, before we get to, let's talk Kiddush every Friday night. How many people make their own Kiddush on Friday night? Okay? Anybody else? No. So how are you Yotzei the Mitzvah? You yotzei the mitzvah by listening to whoever is making the kiddush. Or if you make the kiddush, whoever else is at the table is yotzei. So there, said Rab Chaim, everyone would require kavanah for kiddush, not for the person who's making the kiddush, him or herself. If they were the only people in the room, they don't need kavanah. You would not need kavanah, according to Rab Chaim. Why not? Because if you do the action, obviously you are doing it for the mitzvah. That's what I mean. Mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. Why don't you have to? Because otherwise, why would you be doing such a thing? I got a lot of better things to do than wave a palm tree on Sukkot. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it, why would I be doing it?
You said you could do it haphazardly, but you're not really concentrating on what you're doing.
Okay, but that's okay with us. But if you are doing it for someone else as well, there is, and the other person is standing there like a klutz, passively, doing no action whatsoever, in order to connect you to the person who is who's doing the action, there, said Rab Chaim, you need kavanah. So this case was one of those two illustrations. Kriyas HaMegillah, it's talking about in a normal shul, when not everybody's reading the Megillah themselves, and Tkiyas Shofar, Not everybody is blowing the shofar for themselves. So under those circumstances, the Gemara says, im kivei libo, if you have kavanah, the link, to establish a link between yourself and the Baal Tekeir, then you yotzei the mitzvah. So although this Gemara makes this statement, and no one disagrees, it is not sufficient to resolve the ultimate question, does every single mitzvah require kavanah or not when you perform it? Because this is a case where you are not, where most of the people are not doing the mitzvah, the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah themselves. So, despite the fact that this Gemara seems to support such a conclusion, nonetheless, it may not necessarily establish the rule. The rule. Good. This is on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet. Then, the next source is a page later, Rosh Hashanah 28a. You may have, I'm sure you remember this when we discussed our Pesach Shiurim. Amar Rav Ashi. Kafuhu Parsiim. Kafuhu Parsiim. Persians coerced you to eat matzah. You had no intention of eating matzah Pesach at night. Or not yet. Some Gentile comes, takes a kezayis matzah, crushes it up, and takes the crushed matzah and shoves it down your throat. So, Rav Ashi says that if a Persian shoves the matzah down your throat, you are yotzei the mitzvah. Because you ate it. Now, did you have kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah while he was shoving it down your throat? Of course not. So, listen carefully. Look how Rava is now going to make a jump. Amar Rava, Zot Omeret, this statement of my friend Rav Ashi, who says that if a Gentile shoves the matzah down your throat, you are yotzei the mitzvah, this will teach me Hatokea Lashir Yatza. Maza Tokea Lashir? Blowing it for musical purposes.
That's not the same.
And hold on 1 second. So, and what notes came out? Tkiya Shvarim Trua Tkiya. Those are the notes that came out as he was blowing for entertainment purposes for music. Says Rava, that should be a perfect analogy. A perfect analogy. Why not? So, who said it's not an analogy? Tell me why.
Because in one case where they're putting them out to your throat, you're having no kavanah, and here you're dafka having a different kavanah.
Ooh. Good.
It's not the same.
Good. 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 So, the Gemara initially is going to think not like you, and eventually is going to say exactly like you. So let's read it in the next line. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Sapushit. What does Pshita mean?
Duh.
It's duh. It's simple. I need Rava, the holy Amoraic sage Rava, to come and tell me that the two situations are analogous? Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam will be able to identify that the two situations are perfectly analogous. Pshita, hainu hach. They are the exact same case. You did the action, no kavana to be yotzei. So why do I need Rava to tell me that? Answers the Gemara. Mahu de sema, I could have imagined hosam by matzah echol matzah omar rachmana. The Torah tells you to do what? Eat matzah. And he did. However, I omitted the last line of the Gemara, so you'll have to trust me. But by shofar, what does the Torah describe the mitzvah of shofar in the primary parsha of Emor, where all of the holidays are described, including the mitzvot of each chag. Correct. Doesn't say Yom Teruah Lechem. It says Zichron Teruah. What does Zichron mean? That the shofar should promote certain what? Remembrances. The shofar should promote certain remembrances. Well, is that going to come about when you are Tokeya Lashir? No. What's your intention under those circumstances? The music that is generated. So therefore, the two situations are not at all analogous. Not at all analogous. When you're dealing with matzah, and the only parameter of the mitzvah of matzah is one thing. Eat a kezias of matzah. Well, he ate a kezias of matzah. Obviously, he didn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah. And this Gemara would conclude saying, no, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. And don't bring any proofs. Don't try to establish now tokeya lashir. Tokeya lashir might not work because the Gemara quotes the pasuk zichron teruah. Torah doesn't say zichron matzah or something like that.
Like what we said about sukkah.
What?
Like what we said about
correct.
Sukkah.
It's very much according to the Taz like sukkah, yes. And it has to have some other ideas associated with it. However, what should you be able to conclude from the case of matzah? What should you be able to conclude about all of the mitzvot that are not like Tkiya Shofar, that you don't need kavana? Good. But I'm not sending you home yet. So here, others say that the case of an eating case is not a proof of anything. And I'll tell you why. Why it's not a proof. There is a halacha called mitasek. Mitasek. Mitasek, I'm going to illustrate it through a Hilchos Shabbos issue. There are various ways where a person can be mechal Shabbos. The worst thing is when you know it's prohibited, you know it's Shabbos, and you do it nonetheless. That's called mezid. You intended to desecrate the Shabbos. Then there is shogeg. Shogeg is not absent-minded.
Accidentally.
No, not accidentally. I did it. I didn't know that I forgot that today was Shabbos. Forgot today was Shabbos. Or I forgot that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. I forgot, or I never knew that you're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. I did it deliberately, but not knowing that my action constitutes a violation. So when you do it b'mezid, and there are two witnesses, you get stoned. When you do it b'shogeg, you bring a korban chatas. You bring a korban chatas. Now, here comes the case of misaseg. I always use the same illustration. I'm having chopped liver for lunch on Shabbos. And I have a tomato patch in my backyard. And I like tomatoes with my chopped liver. So on Friday, I go to the backyard and I simply take my sickle and I knock down all of the tomatoes. But I forgot to knock down one of them. Shabbos afternoon, I go out before lunch and I intend to pick up one of the tomato bushes that had already been cut. And what did I wind up with? The one tomato bush that was not cut. That was still attached. And what did I do when I did? I pulled it out of the ground. That's kotzer. That's the third of the 39 malachos. Kotzer. That's called mitaseh. Your mind is asuk in doing something else. I wanted to do something permissible, and I wound up doing something that was prohibited. Got it? I intended to do something permissible, and I wound up only doing something prohibited. That, you don't have, no punishment whatsoever. Certainly no stoning. You don't even have to bring a korban chatas, because your intention was to do something permissible. There are two exceptions to the rule. I'm going to focus on one of them. Eating. Here is the case. You know that there are certain parts of fat of an animal that we are not allowed to eat. It's called chelev. And there is somebody in every butcher shop who knows how to get rid of the prohibited fat. It's called in Yiddish trabering. That's what guys do in the back in the kitchen there. They get the whole side of a cow and they carve off, trim off all of the prohibited fat. Now we know that they don't get rid of all of the fat. We have fat on our meat because that fat is not prohibited fat. That's called shuman. Shen, vav, mem, nun. Shuman. Fat. Shamein means fat. That's why we call it shuman. Fine. Very nice. So now, you come into you're in the kitchen, and you thought that you had gotten rid of all of the prohibited fat. So you cut yourself a piece of meat, thinking that the accompanying fat is shuman. And after you ate it, you realized, oh my God, what type of fat was that? Chelev. Prohibited fat. Or a kosher piece of meat and a non-kosher piece of meat. I have two pieces of meat in my house. They look exactly the same. One is kshera and the other one is nivela. Became nivela because it was the animal was killed other than with a kosher shechita. If an animal dies from any other method other than a kosher shechita, that's what we call nivela. So I sat down to eat. I thought I was eating the kosher food. And I wound up eating the non-kosher nevela.
But you wouldn't even know, so what's the difference?
What?
But you wouldn't know.
But then I realized it.
I realized
that when I put it someplace or something, I realized it.
Why would you have it in your possession?
Because I'm going to sell it to a Gentile. I'm allowed to sell it to a Gentile. Here the halacha is, but even though it's the exact same situation with the tomato bush, I intended to do something permissible, and I wound up doing something prohibited, I have to bring a korban chatas. Why? Because I enjoyed it. Shekein nehenah. I had enjoyment.
But if you didn't enjoy it?
But the halacha says you did.
And what did you eat that today? You picked it, you didn't realize you ate that
tomato,
you had
none. Same thing. The eating the tomato is not prohibited. What was prohibited is doing the action. Here I'm dealing with prohibited foods. So says the Magid Mishnah, listen carefully. If by an Aveira, lack of thought to do an Aveira, you are held accountable for it, lack of thought to do an Aveira. I didn't intend to eat Chelev. I intended to eat Shuman. I didn't intend to eat Nevela. I intended to eat a kosher piece of meat. And nonetheless, even though I didn't intend, if I ate it, I am held accountable and have to bring a korban chatas. So too, if you didn't intend to fulfill a mitzvah, you get credit for the mitzvah, despite the fact that you had no intention to do so. So the Magen Mishnah says, do not bring any proofs from this case of where the Persian shoves the kezayis matzah down your mouth. You can't prove the reason why we came tonight. The reason why we came tonight is to know, to determine, whether mitzvot srichot or ain't srichot kavanah. We can't prove it from this case. Why can't we prove it from this case? Because this case is a case of eating. And by eating, there is a parallel in another situation. Not this situation. It's an Aveira situation. But I had no intention to violate the biblical prohibition of eating non-kosher nevela. No intention. I intended to do only a mitzvah. Or I intended to eat kosher meat. But you wound up eating non-kosher meat. And nonetheless, you have to bring a korban chatas. So it shows you that the absence of kavanah to do an aveira will trigger the consequences of doing an aveira. So too, says our Gemara, the absence of kavanah to do a mitzvah will nonetheless trigger the desired effect of having fulfilled the mitzvah. So there's no proof whatsoever about a regular mitzvah like taking the lulav. Yes.
Is the meat you're finding out after you eat it, whereas the once you pulled the tree out of the ground, I would think you couldn't eat the tomato because you saw you taste it.
That's a different issue, whether you can eat it. My question is, are you held accountable for Chilul Shabbos? And the answer is not. When you ripped it, you will not be held accountable. You don't get punished by God. You don't have to be a korban chatas. Because an activity which you intended to do permissibly, to take the tomatoes that were already cut, and now you wound up, it's not called a maisa aveira. But by eating it is. You're asking a different question. Are you allowed to eat that tomato? The answer is no. You're not. Because no one is permitted to benefit on Shabbos from Chilul Shabbos. That's correct. Only if a guy did it for himself. A Gentile does a malacha for himself, a Jew is permitted to benefit from that malacha. But not. So far we had two sources thus far.
What if the baby shows the light? People pick up their baby
though. They shouldn't do that. It's an Isur d'oraita to do that. Isur d'oraita to pick up a baby and have turn off the light. The pasuk in the Aseret HaDibrot, which says, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha, ata, uvincha ubitecha, vincha ubitecha are below bar mitzvah children. If the child is bar or bat mitzvah, they're included in the word ata. They're in the word ata. Bincha ubitecha is your minor child. You are not permitted midda oraita to ask a minor child to do a malacha for you. And even if the child is only a baby, picking them up to turn off the switch is an isur d'oraita. Isur d'oraita. Yeah. Good. Let's move on. See another possible case. Another possible case. This is a Gemara in Psachim. And the Mishnah tells us on 114a in Psachim, Heviu lifanav mitabel bechazeret ad shemagia leparperes hapas. They bring a vegetable before you get to wash. So what do we eat? A vegetable before we wash during the Seder. What do we do? What are we eating?
Karpas.
Good. So the Mishnah happens to say, what vegetable did they bring for him? Chazeret. Does anybody know what chazeret is? It's maror. It's another name for maror. Correct. That is, it says chazeret. Some say the chazeret, and then there's another thing for mara. So machloik is between the Beis Yosef and the Gaon how to arrange your seder plate. Right. So anyhow, so the Gemara deals with the case where somebody only has one vegetable in the house. and that's Romaine letters. Nothing else. He doesn't have petrushka. He doesn't have parsley. He doesn't have potatoes. Nothing except marah. So the Gemara says you're supposed to use that for what? For baruch, for both, for karpas and for marah. Now tell me how. Why do I bring this case into discuss? So if you held mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, when were you already yotzei the mitzvah of maror? Excuse me, karpas. Well, should you make alachilas maror when you eat karpas?
No.
You're going to make a baruch pri adama, but should you make alachilas maror? None of us have that issue because fortunately we have two vegetables available, one for karpas and one for maror. So here, now go to the next source, and it says Omer Rish Lakish, Zos Omeres, Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. This case must be holding the side of Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. Because if we held Mitzvos Ein Tzrichos Kavana, what should I not have to do after eating matzah? What should I not have to do after eating matzah? No. I should not have to eat marah a second time. Why should I eat marah? I ate marah already. Then we go through the whole Seder. And then we eat matzah. What do we normally do after we eat matzah? We eat marah. And the Mishnah says that what you're supposed to do. But the case is talking about he only had one vegetable.
So can't you make your intention to eat, is eating marah even though...
So you're going to raise a different issue. If you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, I don't have to have kavana. So willy-nilly, as soon as I put the kezias, as soon as I ate the maror, excuse me, as soon as I ate the karpas, which happened to be Romaine letters, I was also yotze the mitzvah of maror.
Is it work that way? Can one thing be...
Sure, there's no real mitzvah to eat karpas. It's just kadesh yishelo atinokos, just to change up what's going on. Because normally, after you make kiddush, what do? You wash and eat bread. And here you're washing and eating vegetables. Hopefully the little punk will say, hey, Pop, hey, Mom, why do we do this?
What? The only real obligation is matzah.
There's a mitzvah to eat maror too. Yes. And there's mana mikdash called Pesach. Yes.
That's how matzah is.
You dip both of them. We
not
dip.
The same thing.
Doesn't have to be the same thing. It could be the same thing. We don't just to make distinctions. But the Mishnah doesn't say what to dip it in. In fact, the Rambam says you dip karpas in charoses, just like you dip maror in charoses. The Rambam says that. The Rambam says you dip matzah into charoses. Everything that you eat, say the night, says the Rambam, goes into charoses. We follow Tosfos, who says karpas goes into salt water. But the Rambam says it's the same thing. So I dip my maror into charoses. I made a bayir pri adama. So the Gemara will talk about whether or not I should make the... In that case, should I also make alachilas maror if I hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavan? Okay, but then it's just haphazard?
No.
We're trying to establish rules.
I know, of course. It's always about rules.
Right, that's what we're here for.
Right, but there are different rules
of course.
For different things.
Yes, but we have to understand conceptually why is this different.
Yes.
So far we know two things.
Food
is different, and if you're doing a mitzvah for someone else.
Yeah.
If they are passive, they might be exceptions to whatever rule we're going to establish. Right.
But this whole carpus thing is eating food. What? I mean, did we already figure out what the rules are for food?
No, that's a very good question. Here, since the mitzvah of eating food, the Gemara should have said automatically mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. But Resh Lakish says the mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, because what did the Mishnah tell him to do after he ate maror? Excuse me, after he ate karpas, what did the Mishnah tell him to do? Eat maror again. So Resh Lakish is going to say, I don't accept the food exception to the rule. I'll deal with the other case of the guy shoving the matzah down my throat. I'll deal with that. But right here, since the Mishnah tells us not only eat a kezias of karpas, but eat a kezias of maror as well. Now, I was waiting for somebody to ask a question right on those last words that I said. We specifically do not eat a kezias of karpas. So I'm learning this sugya like Rambam. Rambam says you have to eat a kezias of karpas. And that's the normal, simple routine of any mitzvah of eating. If you have to eat karpas, normally you have to eat a kezias. The reason why we don't, because it creates a, should I make a bracha achrayna, make a bayin afashos? That's the only reason why you don't. Our practice is not to eat a kezias. But anybody who follows the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, and the Brisk House, they all eat a kezias of maror, of karpas, every time. Yes.
But see, the Seder is the Seder. It has an order of what we do.
Yes.
If you're saying I could, whoever's saying I can eat the one piece of Roman lettuce and do both, you're saying I can do something now that's going to be a different part of the Seder.
Whoa.
So then, how about when I do a place matzah, I eat two kezias and I'm done with afikoman?
Good.
There's an order.
Okay. But afikoman can't be at the, because it means dessert. You can't eat dessert before the main, even though a lot of people would like to.
But the order is karpas comes now.
I know. It's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a good question. But right now, the Gemara is not dealing with that issue. It's dealing whether or not mitzvos tzrichos kavana or not. So, take a look at Rish Lakish's statement. Amar Rish Lakish, Zoto Meret, Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. This must prove the general rule of Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. Kevan, Delo Be'idan Chiyuva Demarar, Hu De'achole, was he eating, here is your point, was he eating Marar at the right time of the Seder, when he was eating Karpas?
No.
So, therefore, Bebore Pri Adama Hu De'achole, he was just eating it as what? As a vegetable for karpas. V'dilma lo'i chavin l'maror. Perhaps he did not have intention, probably did not have intention for the mitzvah of maror. Hilkach ba'i l'mehedar l'atbule l'shem maror. Therefore, later on, he has to dip this vegetable in again to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. The isal kedaitach mitzvah lo baya kavana. If you were of the opinion that a mitzvah does not have to have kavana, trei lama loch trei tibule. Why do you have to dip the romaine lettuce twice? For hatavule chada zimna. He already did both mitzvot at the same time. He fulfilled the mitzvah of karpas, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of maror by dipping it into the charoses for the mitzvah of karpas. Must be mitzvot tzrichot kavana. That's what the Resh Lakish thinks at this particular time. At this particular time.
Kavana just means intention, right?
Intention to be yotzei the mitzvah. Correct. Good. Okay, we'll stop here at this particular point, and I will continue to develop this next Tavach. Next Tavach.